Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Imran the Don Khan.
Hello, Blessing. Hello, everybody.
Imran, happy December 1st.
Happy Donk-sember?
Donk-sember.
Yeah.
Dis-donker first.
Dis-donker sounds like an arcade game.
What kind of game would it be? What genre? It almost, this kind of sounds
I'm literally thinking Dishonored, but with Donkey Kong.
See, I was going, what's the game, like the old game that's like, it's disc throwing, and you guys are trying to like get the disc on the other person's goal?
Windjammer.
Windjammers. That's kind of what came to mind for me. Type game.
Windjammers, but everyone is a Donkey Kong 64 character.
I'm down with it.
Yeah, okay, cool. Let's print. Hit print.
Imran, how are you doing? I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever.
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm vibing. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'm still feeling out the beard situation because, like, I don't know. Even with how the lighting is now, I don't even know if you can even see it, really.
I can kind of see it. You're right. I was about to say something real bad. It does grow in a little patchy.
It does. Like, yeah.
That's fine. I think with time, it'll probably, like, you know, fill out a little bit. It just depends how hard you want to commit to it.
I think it's looking great. Like, here's the thing. Bless. I told Tim when his head looks stupid. You know what I mean? I told Nick when his stupid.
Tim,
No. Listen to me.
You have that relationship with him.
No. I told Nick when his, what did he have? He had the back of his hair was long. What's it called?
The mullet.
Mullet. I told him that looked ridiculous. I told him it made me sick. I told Greg when his mustache looked great, because it looked great.
His mustache did look good, yeah.
I'm telling you, man. This is like, once this comes in fully, like, you're going to look damn cool. Damn cool.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I'm not feeling confident about it, but again, I can't shave for about a week. And so we'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling by next Monday. If I come through cleanly shaved, then you know what my choice was. but enough about that. Let's talk about huge spending for VR, a couple of big console updates, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at the patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, today, Galactus comes to Fortnite, and Greg, woo! Barrett, and Kevin, and Joey will be taking him on. Come watch the end of the season event at 12:45 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You excited about that, Kevin?
Yep, real stoked. I'm going to see what we're going to do.
You got any strategies you're going to employ for Galactus?
I don't know, man. I'm like three levels away from getting, what's his face? Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whatever gets me the most XP, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go for the nads if that's what's going to bring me the most.
Oh, you're going to go for Galactus's nads.
You got to imagine they're the most sensitive.
I bought the Venom costume. I do not regret it. Everyone should buy the Venom costume because it's cool.
It's really cool.
Emma, are you gonna be online for the Galactus event?
Maybe. That's only today, right? Like, it's not a thing you can do tomorrow. Then I will probably like log in and play a little bit and see.
I think I'm gonna do it because I've not shown up for any of the other big season-ending events. Like, I've missed every single exciting thing that's happened in Fortnite, and so I feel like I should at least tune in for this one because we've been playing somewhat consistently for like the last week and a half. And like Galactus sounds cool, right? I'm very curious to see what the next season is.
Are you going
to
be on the call with us?
Would I be distracting though? I don't want to like impose.
I don't think so.
There's a certain list of names here, and my name's not on that list.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
and like, what does that mean?
I think you're very new. You know what I mean?
What does that mean? I've been here for a year. I don't know if I'm new anymore.
A year? Has it really been? It has been three months. Jesus Christ, that can't be right.
It's been too long, and I've spent like 75% of it at this point at home, which has been fun. It's been great.
That's what I guess my year was a couple of months ago. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a great year it's been on the run.
It has. I'm very excited about that Fortnite thing. Imran, have you been playing Fortnite? consistently?
A little bit this season. Like, I've not been playing as much because I usually play with my girlfriend, and she doesn't like the Marvel stuff as much as I do. So, like, okay. We've not been playing that much. I will probably try to, like, drag her into this thing. But she's looking forward to a new, like, non-Marvel season. I think it's funny that there's more hype about what Fortnite is doing with this Marvel event than what Avengers is doing with any events.
Oh god. I mean, does Avengers even have events? That's how like out of the loop I feel like I am with Avengers, where just played it the first week, was done with it.
Well, and, yeah,
like,
didn't they I know delay been their last big event?
They delayed Kate Bishop, so she is coming December, I think.
Yeah, December 8th.
Yeah, but like Avengers should be the game where it's like, hey, Galactus is coming. And I'd be like, oh shit, we're gonna get to play as, you know, Captain America against Galactus. But instead, like, no, I'm gonna shoot Galactus with my gun in the nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because when Avengers was on the verge of coming out, I remember being like, in my mind, being like, ooh, I wonder if Avengers is going to distract from Fortnite a bit with all the Marvel stuff going on. And it's been, for me, it's been the exact opposite of, yeah, dude, if I want my Marvel fix right now, I'm going to Fortnite. Because playing Fortnite over the last few weeks, so I have the Thor skin and I have it with Thor's hammer. And so, like, when you're diving out of the
Thor skin,
the bust or whatever, Thor skin. We made the same joke last night when we were playing. We couldn't stop laughing whenever I would say Thor skin.
I mean, some people have to get their Thor skin removed.
God, but that's because they want to change like the Tony Stark skin, so it makes sense. When you jump out of the battle bus or whatever, right? Like, and you're diving through, you then have your Thor's hammer. So instead of the glider, you have the animation of Thor being guided with Mjolnir, and it's the coolest thing ever. It's the coolest feeling ever, and I felt way more like Thor in that moment than I feel like I've felt in Marvel's Avengers, which again, like, was fun, but Fortnite is where it's at for that stuff.
I will one up you on that. I got the She-Hulk skin, and there you have to do a certain number of quests to do, or a certain quest to like Hulk out. So what I do is I do the Jennifer Walters thing, and then when somebody in my squad dies, then I Hulk out. It has no gameplay changes at all. It's just fun for me.
That's awesome. My favorite is
out of anger.
Yeah, basically out of anger.
That's dope. I like that.
My favorite is when a random NPC will come through and just confuses everybody. Like, I feel like every other match, Wolverine will pop up and it's like, oh, is that somebody's Wolverine skin? And then, like, you start fighting him and it's like, oh, no, Wolverine's pissed off. We got to fight this dude now.
Dude.
And it's like, that's awesome.
Iron Man's a bitch in comparison. Wolverine is tough as shit.
Tough as shit.
Wolverine is tough.
And, like,
he does not play around.
There's also something wrong with his AI where a bunch of times he's just kind of walking into like a bush, but like not
he's
moving.
Like, he's
and it's just like, oh my god, that's so terrifying.
Like you see Wolverine, and like there have been multiple times where I'm like, what's that in the distance? Is that a zombie? Because like it looks like a character is just like slowly just walking in the distance, and then he turns, and you're like, oh no, that's Wolverine. Oh no, he's running right toward me with those claws. Very fun times. Love that game. Fortnite's fun. I'm hyped for the Galactus thing. I might tune into the call so I can talk to you guys.
Yeah, you will, my dude. Yeah, you will.
That sounds like a good time. But speaking of good times, you know what's a good time? Subscribing to patreon.com. So it's kind of funny games and becoming a Patreon producer, just like Blackjack did. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, DoorDash, and Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, which is a question I want to pose to you, Imran.
Mm-hmm.
Both because it's a slow news day, but then also because I figured it'd be an interesting conversation. What is the future of VR? I asked this because as I was doing the search for news today, this morning, I came across this article by Marie D'Alessandri of GamesIndustry.biz, who wrote an article called VR Spending is to Pass $1 Billion in 2020. The article goes like this. A total of 6.4 million VR headsets we sold in 2020, with the VR market reaching $1.1 billion in content spending this year. According to the latest research by market analyst firm Omdia, VR content revenue will reach $4 billion in 2025, 90% of which will be from games by then. The combined hardware and software value of VR will be worth $10 billion in 2025, growing from $3.2 billion in 2020. The report highlighted an increased growth of VR in 2020 due to COVID-19 lockdowns. However, it pointed out that this growth was also limited by, quote, manufacturing challenges in the first half of 2020 and the November launch of next-gen game consoles, diverting gamers' attention and budget, end quote. The household penetration of VR by the end of the year will be 1.2% across 32 countries, Omdia analyzed, This number will rise to 3% in 2025, showing that there's still a long way to go before VR is massively adopted. The launch of standalone headsets such as Oculus Quest have broadened the appeal of VR, though, the research showed. Out of the 6.4 million headsets sold this year, 3.3 million were standalone. Omdia estimated that 1.2 million units of Quest devices will be sold by the end of 2020, rising to 5.6 million units in 2025. Imran, how do you react to these numbers? And for you, what is the future of VR?
So, like, these numbers are good. VR is growing, but it's still a, I guess the term to use would be, it's a popular niche. It is, like, 5 million a year is great for most things that are not, you know, the mainstream video game platforms. But it's not, it is not at the point yet where you're like, I can put a business around this. Or, you know, I can, it makes sense to do this and not console games, I guess. And that's always going to be what's going to limit VR, is that when you're designing games, you have to decide, is this going to be just a VR game, or is it going to be on a flat screen as well? Then you're inherently limiting what that VR thing can do. And that will hold it back until it becomes a thing that is competitive, which I don't know that it's ever going to be a thing. Like, I don't know that it's ever going to be like competitive consoles, and I'm not sure it ever really needs to be, but needs and should are, you know, not the same thing here. I definitely think there is a space for VR to consistently grow, but it is always, there's always going to be something that keeps it from being the main thing. There's never going to be a sea change where VR is the only way to play a video game. Not that I think anybody actually even wants that to be the case, but this article talks about the Quest becoming a bigger thing. Yes, the Quest is growing. I also suspect that's why Facebook decided to, you know, put as many strings on the Quest 2 that they did. That now is the time that you do actually integrate with Facebook and all that, when people are like going to grouse about it, but it's not big enough to actually like piss everybody off. So I think I see this article's point. I think I see where that VR is going to be a bigger thing in the future. It's also at the point where Microsoft's not doing it. They said they were going to do Oculus compatibility with the Xbox One X and decided not to. They haven't said anything about the Series X, and I don't think they ever will, unless like things change in the next 5 years. Who knows? Sony's PSVR strategy right now is confusing as hell. Like, they, PSVR is only a PS4 thing, to the point where like PS5 games should support PSVR. That is, it is utterly insane to me that they do not. That you have to download both the PS4 and PS5 versions of Hitman 3 to play the PSVR version of it.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, because even that, there should, I understand it's a technical challenge. They should have figured it out for the PS5 and making that stuff work. And they should also be saying, hey, this is just, if they're going to do it that way, if they're going to like put a hard limit on how you do that, they should have immediately said, yeah, we're working on the PSVR too. We're aiming for, I don't know, 2022. We don't want to rush it. That should have been their strategy, not, hey, we're going to be real quiet about it. You don't know if it's going to be, if it's alive or dead, but, you know, VR is a thing probably.
Like, in a perfect world, I feel like at the very least, at the PlayStation 5 reveal, where we get details about the accessories, the cameras, all that stuff, right? It would be nice to be like, hey, by the way, you know, PS5 is coming out this fall of 2020. But in the future, at an unnamed, you can even say at an unnamed date, PSVR 2 is coming. And it could be a thing of, right now, obviously, they're only focusing on PS5. They don't want to distract. And also, at the same time, they're probably still working on PSVR 2, trying to figure out what that is going to be and what that looks like and how that's going to integrate with PS5. But to what you're saying, right, like, it kind of sucks that I have my PS5, and to make it work with PSVR, I have to get an adapter, and I have to, like, I have to download the PS4 versions of games, right? Like, there's not PS5 native VR games, and there are PS4 games that are updating to take advantage of the PS5 hardware, like in the example of Blood and Truth, where they talked about, oh yeah, you're gonna have better textures X, Y, and Z on PS5 as opposed to on PS4. Like, that stuff's cool, but I feel like it is a weird workaround to be like, oh yeah, they can't just release, I guess they don't have the ability right now to release a PS5 version of Blood and Truth. And is that a weird thing? Or will that all make sense once PSVR 2 comes out? And it is a, okay, yeah, no, the new version of Blood and Truth, if there is new version, it'll probably just be Blood and Truth 2 by that time. But let's say if there is a new port of Blood and Truth, that is then going to, with PSVR 2, like take all the advantages of the PS5 and also all the advantages of what the hardware looks like. But it is, we're in such a weird place as far as VR hardware, with PlayStation specifically because of the things we just said. But then also I feel like Oculus, if you're to ask me what my favorite or what I think the best VR headset experience is, I probably would say, I probably would have said Oculus Quest, based on it being cable free, it being very easy to set up, it just working, and it being powerful enough, right? It being more powerful than these, than the like the Samsung Gear VR stuff, right? Like it being a legitimate VR headset where I can play Beat Saber, I can play Thumper, I can play some of the coolest games available in VR, but like not have to worry about all the bullshit of actual, like these actual high, I guess high tier in terms of power, right? Like these high tier VR headsets. But then you bring in Facebook, and Facebook's been kind of fucking that up in terms of like reading stories about people who either get their Facebook accounts deactivated or banned on Facebook, or whatever it may be, and then that then breaking their headsets is terrifying, is like a thing I do not want to deal with that, let alone like having to link my Facebook account in order to just play VR games. Like all these boundaries that they're setting in place, all these obstacles that they're setting in place before people can actually get their hands on playing a game in Oculus VR 2 or Oculus Quest 2 is not making me confident in what that platform is and what the future of that platform is, which I think comes back to the question, because you mentioned Microsoft not doing it. Is Microsoft not doing it going to be a thing that holds VR back, right? Like the fact that everybody's not in all the way.
I imagine it does. If you're making a VR game, it probably doesn't induce confidence that, oh, well, I want, let's say I'm making a game that costs $20 million. And that game is going to require an install base in my budget of 15 million people. Mm-hmm. At that point, you have to make that game compatible on PSVR 1, a theoretical PSVR 2, Quest 1, Quest 2, Rift and Vive to actually stand a chance of being able to, like, for everybody to be able to play that game, or as many people as like matters in your budget. And as that number scales down, or as like adoption isn't quite what you think it is, or VR game sales around it are not big, then you start having to scale that budget down, and maybe at some point you go, maybe this game shouldn't be VR. So if Microsoft did have their own headset, then yeah, that would increase that number to make it more likely for people, especially because Microsoft would get around it and probably put a bunch of VR games on Game Pass and probably increase adoption and get people to not leave their VR thing in like on a nightstand or like next to the TV just collecting dust. But it also, I mentioned Game Pass integration, you also have to consider that there are technologies that are also currently burgeoning that are not VR compatible. Like, you can't have xCloud VR. Like, theoretically, maybe you could, but it's going to be a really messy, sickening experience if you try.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Greg had this conversation on PS Love You, which is available right now. You can go check that out. And we talked all about 7 years down the line what these consoles look like and what xCloud looks like and game streaming, and does that become more ubiquitous? And in a world where the answer is yes and game streaming becomes a way more normalized way to play games, yeah, what does that do for VR, right? Especially for Xbox as a platform, like for them, they're probably like, yeah, there's no reason to do VR, because if we're able to be a success by getting the Xbox app on TVs and having an Xbox streaming stick and getting that into a bunch of households, right? Then like that's not going to be compatible with VR, at least anytime soon. Like I can't imagine the universe where people are game streaming via this thing that's stuck to your face and needs all the power possible to work.
It conflicts with Microsoft's kind of technology, or like their business ethos at this point, which is we want you logging in every day and playing a game, a new game, a different game, the same game, whatever. But as long as you do it consistently and you're paying a subscription cost. Maybe this is my own personal experience, but I don't know of people who play VR every day for several hours. I'm sure there are people. I'm sure there are people who like love that stuff, but by and large, I don't think it's a subscription model compatible thing, which I think is also why you don't spend a lot of time and resources trying to make it work on an Xbox.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Like, I don't think there's a really a big future for VR and Xbox within like the next 7 years, right? I don't think they're thinking on that level. I'm sure there probably talks in probably ways where they're like, all right, if we can get somebody to be able to get their headset compatible with our system and offer games that way, sure, but it's probably not a priority in any sense. But I think that for me, that comes back to the question that I'll pose to you, because we kind of got into it a little bit. Like, what do you think is the end goal for VR? Or like, not even an end goal, because I feel like that's so, I guess, future looking, but like, what does VR need to be in order for it to be, I guess, a success, right? For it to be what it needs to be, if that makes sense.
It needs to be powerful, comfortable, and cheap. And this is one of those like pick two kind of situations. You can do powerful and comfortable. You just can't, like, the Quest 2 is a bit cheaper, or is decently cheaper than the Quest 1, but it's not as comfortable. Like, there are things that they take away from the Quest 1 to make the Quest 2 as cheap as it needs to be. I think different companies have different goals with regards to these things. Facebook really wants a social space you put on your head, and that is constantly monitoring you and everything you're doing, and has all sorts of body metrics about you and your room that they can sell to advertisers. And that is their goal. I don't think that's Sony's goal with the PSVR 2 or PSVR. I don't know what their end goal is, besides this is just a vector for more game sales. I'm not sure they know what their end goal is at the moment. Yeah. And that might be what's like what we're waiting for more information on PSVR 2. I know Greg infamously thinks the thing is canceled. So honestly, who knows? It's not going to be possible for like the industry to get together and say, here's our goals for VR. Here's what the end game for VR is. I think everyone's kind of going, we have ideas about what makes us money. And Facebook is going to be different from Sony, which is going to be different from Steam or Valve. And I don't know that they're ever going to find common ground in what those things are, besides just the fact we would also like games to be played on this, and they have different degrees of priority on that.
Mm-hmm. I went to Twitter because I was curious about what people thought about VR just as a concept in general. And I basically put out a tweet and I said, I'm doing research for KFGD today. And I asked, what is your interest in VR? And then I also asked, do you have a VR headset? Do you use it often? And do you want to get one at a certain point if you don't have one? And Imran, I got like over 500 replies to this thing. I wasn't expecting this many people.
At most, I saw the tweet and I was like, I should reply to this because I don't think Blessing to get that much. But like,
people, if you ask people questions on Twitter about their opinion, they will show up. Trust me. But yeah, like going through some of these responses, right? Like Emmett Watkins Jr. responded and said, in terms of his interest in VR in general, he says pretty minimal. When it's easier to not play VR games due to the setup, I rarely end up playing them. It's cool when a game has a VR mode, but I'm never clamoring for it. And then like regarding, do you have a VR headset, et cetera, he says, I have just PSVR and I use it maybe once every 3 months. Most of the games I want to play are 2D. So there you go. Joseph Noop of I think he works at IGN. Yeah, he does weekend stuff at IGN, I think.
Yeah.
He responded and says, I think VR has legs given its applicability to other industries. But obviously, we still have a long, long way to go before it becomes commercially viable. It could just as easily sink without massive companies blowing money on it. I still have my original Oculus Rift, which works well enough with current stuff like Half-Life Alyx. It's been sitting in a box for a while, though, thanks to a tiny apartment. Jeffy Grub responded and says, VR equals Segway scooters. They were both hyped up as the future that would change everything. They both ended up primarily getting used as enterprise tools, which I think is a very, very interesting take. Pixel Brave responds and says, I'm interested in PSVR. I know there are better headsets out there, but I don't have a PC, so those aren't really options. I don't own one, but if I were financially able to in the future, then yeah, I'd totally get one. I'd totally try to get one someday. And then I'm going to read one more from Gene Park over at Washington Post, who responded and said, I'm always interested in VR game concepts and mostly what they're doing to attract anyone who isn't interested. I do have one, but I rarely use it, maybe once or twice a year. As good as a game can be, I do not want to wear a thing on my head to play games. And I think a lot of these responses have a lot in common as far as people being either mildly interested or just not interested at all. But then also people who have them being like, yeah, I play every now and then. And yeah, for what VR is right now, like, I think that's fine. I don't think any of these companies were expecting people to be on VR daily at this point. Right. Because like
investors, software, were. The companies were.
I think so.
The investors were almost certainly expecting like VR to be the next big thing. And so a lot of money, like all the budget that's been pulled out of VR games in the last 5 years, or maybe less than that, has been because they thought it was going to be like a revolution in technology that was going to like change everything. And it wasn't quite that. It was, you know, like Jeffrey Grubb said, it was insanely hyped up, but didn't like, it was a cool new experience that didn't really, you know, break the mold in any way. Or make a new mold, I guess. But it's, I think a lot of money was pulled out from that. And like, if it succeeded in the way everyone thought, then everyone would be doing VR right now, but it's not. And that the money is always going to be the limiting factor in these sort of things.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like wrap up this conversation because it's going long, but like, as far as my hope for where VR goes, because like, I like VR. I think VR is fun when there's good software for it. Like some of my favorite games from a couple years ago were games like Beat Saber and Trover Saves the Universe and Tetris Effect in VR and Astro Bot. Like I can make a full list of fantastic VR games, and I hope VR doesn't go anywhere. But like, yeah, I wonder if this upward trend that we're seeing detailed in this article continues in a way that becomes any sort of significant, or if it is just a, hey, yeah, man, like this is kind of where VR is going to live, like that the 3% of households, which it's a good number, I think, but I think probably they want it to be way bigger.
My VR concern is that what got me into VR is like, I need to buy a headset for this was Beat Saber. And what keeps me in VR is still just Beat Saber. Like, they've not done any, like, maybe this is just a me thing, but I've not found a game that's been as good as Beat Saber. And maybe that just speaks to VR too, of like, this is the experience for it. This is the ideal VR experience. We've already cracked the code. What do we do next?
Do you have any interest in like Squadron?
Star Wars Squadron?
Yeah, Star Wars Squadron.
I played it once and it made me real sick.
Oh, shit.
That made me, I think the same thing happened to Greg too. Like I spun my TIE Fighter around and was like, oh shit, I should have done that. And like that was it. I was like, I'm done.
Did you ever play the Ace Combat 7?
No. Well, wait, yes, I did at a preview event.
Did that make you sick at all?
No, but I was like, I had been playing the game on flat screen for like an hour before I put it on the headset.
So you were mentally prepared, I get it.
I was prepared, and then I was sitting down in like one of their like expensive ass chairs, and they gave me like a nice little controller. It felt nice, but I was only there for like 20 minutes. I did one mission.
If you want to try Squadrons on one of those expensive chairs, I'll hook you up.
You never know when sickness is going to hit you with VR. Cause like for me, it is, I got a couple years ago, I got sick maybe twice playing VR. And the first time was just in a random Astrobot level where they would slowly like elevate your height in the level. Yeah. And like that was the thing that got me, and I was like, oh man, I was not expecting to feel this way. And then the other was just like a random time playing Beat Saber. And like I'd played Beat Saber a bunch, and then it was random session that fucked me up. Yeah.
That's wild.
It was just one random session. You're stationary. That fucked me up. And I think it was probably more so me being tired and maybe hungry going into it rather than like the game itself.
You're
like
I think it was just the state system, I was in. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. My immune system was not ready for it. Story number two, we got a big couple of console updates. I'm going to start with Xbox. This is from Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft is starting to roll out the November update for the Xbox Series X, Series S, and Xbox One consoles today. The software update is the first dashboard update for Microsoft's next-gen consoles, and it includes more dynamic backgrounds that are exclusive to the Xbox Series X and Series S. The update adds 6 new dynamic background designs, including ones that are clear nods to older Xbox consoles. Each can be selected from the settings panel for the Xbox dashboard, and Microsoft says it's working on additional styles, colors, and designs for future console updates. Alongside the updated dynamic backgrounds, the Xbox Series X and S are getting a new tag that lets you then know when a game is using auto HDR. You'll see the tag appear when you open the Xbox guide during a game, and it appears similarly to how Quick Resume pops up in the top right-hand corner. Microsoft hasn't mentioned whether performance or stability improvements have been added with the November update, nor whether Quick Resume has seen improvements. Quick Resume hasn't been working correctly with a wide range of titles since the launch of the Xbox Series X and Series S, and Microsoft blamed a bug it said it was working to fix. This is exciting stuff. I'm still bummed out about Quick Resume being somewhat unreliable, but everything else here sounds awesome. Like, it's cool that they're adding the HDR tag and the dynamic backgrounds. I've been seeing a few clips of those floating around on social media, and they look pretty sweet. So I'm all about that.
Yeah, I don't know what I would add or change to the Xbox OS at this point. Like, for better or worse, it is what it is. It is the OS they've been using for a couple of years. It's tight and fast, and as it, hopefully they fix that quick resume bug first or soon. At this point, yeah. Just add not game, but backwards compatibility games. That's the only thing I'm really looking for. Is like go back and add 360 games, add Xbox original games. I don't think, unless they plan to start copying things like activities and stuff like that, then it's solved. Like they have the OS they need. Yeah, it's like building a better cardboard box at this point. You've built the cardboard box. Just now, you know, make sure it's sturdy. Like, don't let it slow down and don't let it be shitty.
Don't fuck it up.
Yeah, like, I would like to remove the ads, but they're never going to do that. So, you know, just at this point, do whatever. I don't need new dynamic things. I already don't look at the dynamic thing already. So
yeah, I like where the UI is at now. And I don't use my Xbox enough to really, like, get into the nitty gritty of like, oh, this sucks, man. I wish this would be better. Or I wish like X, Y, and Z, in the way that for me playing my PlayStation 5 every day, I notice a new thing where I'm like, I wish this thing was slightly better. Yes. But as far as like these updates, right? Like, again, they all feel additive in a way where I'm like, cool, I get it. Like, just give me something that tells me which games are in quick resume and which games can support quick resume, and like, we'll be good. We'll be golden.
I'm annoyed that's not everything. Like, it should be every Xbox Series X game should support quick resume. It should be every Xbox One game too. But I understand, you know, that wasn't decided then. But
yeah,
it is annoying to me when it's not available and like they don't tell me that. Like, I don't know if that's a bug or if it's on the developer.
I feel like it has to be like some sort of bug or something. Like, I feel like something must have went wrong toward like when review console started to get out and like people started to be like, oh yeah, there's this thing wrong with this game when it's in quick resume. I'm sure there's something that made them go, okay, maybe not every game can support this in the way that we expected it to, and maybe we gotta like figure it out behind the scenes. Because I'm shocked that they don't have something that tells you directly like when and where quick resume is working.
This issue I have with the PS5 too is that when you're switching games on the PS4, and the PS4 it said, hey, you're gonna close that other game if you do this. I feel like I know mentally if I have a game in the background, but sometimes I'm not gonna. Sometimes I've been watching Netflix for 2 days and then I go back to like a game. It's like, hey, you're gonna close this instance of Spider-Man you have open if you do that. It doesn't do that on PS5. It should do the same thing on the Xbox Series X of like, hey, if you quit off this game, you can't resume. This does not support quick resume. That should be like a perfectly reasonable thing, like a little message to pop up when you're quitting a game. I don't mind hitting the A button one extra time. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, especially when you're going to close something that might mean something to you. Like, if I'm in the middle of a quest in I don't know, Demon Souls or something, like, let me know. But that does kind of feed into my theory that I think quick resume is coming to PlayStation 5 sooner than later, because why would you just take out that random functionality?
Yeah,
unless you're doing something with it, which would be quick resume.
There's a lot of question marks on the PS5 UI, and the Xbox Series X UI is just a lot of ellipses. So I'm like, all right, go ahead. Do what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see where the PS5 UI goes, because right now, like, I have all these little nitpicks with it, and I look at the activity cards, and I'm like, all right, I don't really use these, and like, they aren't really in an order that I really, like, they're not in the order that I'd prefer here, and like, I wouldn't use X, Y, and Z. But like, in a few years when they refine all that stuff and they take in feedback and figure it out, I can see cards being dope as fuck. Like, I can see myself loving how the cards pan out.
Those are the two paths, right? It's either like they've refined it and perfected it, or nobody uses it anymore because it's extra work they didn't want to do.
Yeah, we shall see.
We'll see.
Xbox isn't alone in their console updates, though. We got an update for Nintendo Switch. This is Petrana Radulikov, or no, Radulovic, at Polygon. A Nintendo Switch update rolled out on November 30th with some small changes. But most importantly, Switch owners can now transfer screenshots wirelessly via their smart devices. Previously, sharing screenshots on the Switch meant removing the memory stick or uploading images on Twitter or Facebook. Additionally, users can use a USB cable to transfer screenshots to a computer. The software update also included 12 new user icons, a trending feature that displays what your friends are playing, and the addition of Nintendo Switch Online to the homepage menu. Brazilian Portuguese was also added as a language. Nintendo also rolled out a new feature that automatically downloads backed up save data, which was added to the save data cloud, as well as the ability to name preset button mapping. The full change log is available on Nintendo's website. Imran, have you gotten the chance to open up the Switch and update that thing yet?
I have not. This does not seem like a particularly exciting update, so I've not been like, it's cool they add new features. What, great. But this has been the first year that they have not, since NSO, well, I guess it's only been 2 years at this point, but since Nintendo Switch Online went live, last year they added a new console. They added the Super Nintendo. This year they did nothing. So,
hey man, Super Mario 35. That's equal to NES Online.
And next year their thing is going to be removing Super Mario 35. So, yeah. Like, it's December. I wish they would have done more with this thing. Who knows? Maybe today they just like drop something random. Like, but this is not as exciting as like adding a new console to the virtual console. They also should have like maybe integrated this a little bit better. Like, I understand it makes sense that you make the Switch create an internal Wi-Fi, then you connect to that Wi-Fi, then you like make a new code to like stuff, get stuff onto your phone. But it is clunky in a way that's like, why isn't there just an easier way to do this? It is the most bare bones way to do it. And it's a way that works. It'll outlive the Switch Online app. It'll outlive a bunch of things. It'll outlive Nintendo servers. But it's still like, you couldn't have thought of like a nicer way to do this or something? I don't know. Like, it is Nintendo in every way of, hey, it works. But, I don't know.
That's the thing is like, it's Nintendo. And so when I saw the way in which they're going about the screenshot stuff and like transferring them to your smartphone, I was like, cool, I guess, whatever, man. Like, I wish everybody would do it the way Xbox does it, where whenever you take a screenshot, it'll just upload to the cloud, and then you can go on your Xbox app on your phone, and it's there, and you can download captures, whether they're video or photos. Like, that is the cleanest, smoothest way you can do that possible, and Xbox figured that out. And, you know, I get Nintendo being like, oh, that would require us to have this whole infrastructure that we make in the cloud and all that stuff. And I understand Nintendo being like, fuck that. We know Mario and Zelda and that's it.
I like that your Nintendo voice is Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I like, Nintendo is just like the old man that doesn't know how technology works to me. And so that's the voice.
So that save data sync thing, that to me implies they're setting up for a new, like a revision or something that is primarily home based. Because like one of the things I thought was weird about the Switch and Switch Lite is that there's just no like move. There should have been an auto thing of like, hey, I've docked this. I am home. My Switch Lite is connected to the Wi-Fi network. Upload all my saves back to my, because I'm going to go back to my home console when I'm home. That this could be like, hey, we're just going to do that automatically now. Only really makes sense if you have like a non-portable Switch and a portable Switch at the same time.
Because that would be fascinating.
I don't see
the Switch Pro. If the Switch Pro is just a home console, and like that would be a really interesting like move for Nintendo in order to like get that power, but then also keep everything in the same ecosystem and
because if you remember like the Bloomberg reporting, I think it was Bloomberg, was like, hey, this thing might have 4K support. I doubt it means native 4K, but either case, there is no point to having that undocked or having a screen that maxed out at 720p, because a 4K screen is going to be ridiculous and not a thing they do for a new Switch. There would be no point in doing all that stuff. So if those rumors are true, then things are starting to line up in a way that makes a lot of sense. We're going to start seeing more stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know how I feel about that. Part of me is excited about that because that means Zelda 2 or whatever, right, can take advantage of the more powerful system, and you do have a legitimate PS4 to PS4 Pro situation where it is, oh yeah, I'm coming home and I'm playing on my TV and playing in 4K and all this stuff, and it is beautiful and it's awesome, and I can switch to my Switch whenever I want with the cloud saves. Like, that is ideal, I guess, but at the same time, I feel like it also destroys the point of the Switch, unless you have both.
Have you been playing Age of Calamity at all?
I only booted it up once and played for like an hour and a half.
Okay, so that game doesn't run well, like at all. It goes down to really low frame rates in a way that, like, I am shocked Nintendo is accepting of that, unless there's a reason at some point that it's not going to run at low frame rates, because that thing is unlocked frame rate. I imagine there's a situation where a Switch Pro comes out and that game runs better.
I like where your head's at, Imran. Let's keep this theory. I want to place it on the theory board. I'm placing it there for us to come back to you in 2021 when it comes true.
We got to do 2021 predictions at some point, so we'll see.
Hey, we'll see. Story number three, could Travis Scott be making a video game? This is from Aaliyah Woods at XXL. Travis Scott is easily becoming a jack of all trades, following rumors of a new venture that could potentially be in the works. Travis, who has undoubtedly been on fire this year despite an unprecedented global pandemic, recently spoke with Forbes magazine, and it looks like his partner with PlayStation entails more than his title as a strategic creative partner. He might be releasing his very own game with the company. Travis maintained an air of mystery when speaking of the collaboration with the gaming company. Quote, "It's all going to roll out in the next couple of weeks," he said in the article, which was published on Monday, November 30th. That's yesterday. However, a source said that the Houston rapper inked a multi-year deal with PlayStation that, quote, "could involve a co-branded console and perhaps even a game designed by Scott," end quote. And get this, Travis Scott's estimated earnings for this deal are $20 million or more. Back in October, PlayStation announced that Scott joined their team to not only contribute creatively, but to also, quote, "produce innovative projects" in conjunction with PlayStation and his Cactus Jack brand. This is a fun one. I don't think Travis Scott's going to make a video game, but if he did, I would wholeheartedly support it because that sounds amazing. A Travis Scott video game.
The last generation Sony went in all in on Kojima. They were like, they made the videos, they had the big thing, and this generation is Travis Scott. Just put them together. Just let Travis Scott and Kojima make a video game.
And I know Kojima would be all about it. Kojima seems like the type of dude who's down with that sort of weird kind of creative dynamic between him and Travis Scott.
Kojima would go, "Hey, are you famous? Cool, let's go do a thing." Like, that's all he needs.
What I want is Bluepoint to work on a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake, Kojima to be heading that up with Bluepoint, and Travis Scott does a cover of the Snake Eater song for when you're climbing the ladder. He sings it in autotune.
What the rumor now wasn't three, right? It's one that Bluepoint is.
Yeah, I think the rumor is actually one. Yeah, I would prefer three, though.
I would prefer three as well, but yeah.
I mean, but I'm down with one, because one is probably the most in need of a remake, even though you do have Twin Snakes. But
that's the problem with one, though, is like, if you change the gameplay at all, then it breaks completely. Because like, Twin Snakes did that. Like, they added that first person mode. It's like, oh, well, you can just shoot Ocelot in the face and there's like no downside here. But if they do remake one, and hell, put Travis Scott in it, like, I don't know what you would change beyond just the graphics. It does not make people mad. Or maybe you just go like, fuck it. Don't make people mad if you want. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, me and Greg had this conversation recently, I feel like, and I think what we might have came down on was, like, it'd be cool to see if Bluepoint could work on, or maybe some studio, maybe not even Bluepoint, but, like, any PlayStation studio work on a new Metal Gear Solid with the blessing of Kojima. Kojima doesn't actually have to be working on it. If Kojima can just be like, hey, you know, these guys, I've seen their work, they're doing a good job, I give them my blessing, they're doing all this stuff, XYZ, right? And it is, I guess for me, what I'm thinking in the moment right now, and this is based off of me playing Metal Gear Solid 5 and desperately being heartbroken that there wasn't a Chapter 3, right? Like, it'd be great to get a Metal Gear remake that is bridging the gap between Metal Gear Solid 5 and Metal Gear Solid. Like, I think that would be the perfect way to wrap things up. And part of me would want Kojima on that, but I get that he's probably like, fuck that, I never want to work on this franchise again.
Oh, that would be so cool if, like, you played most of that game as Venom. Like, the first half of that game is Venom Snake, and, like, you hear the explosions outside the door, and then it just switches to Snake.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm so mad this doesn't exist.
Yeah. Speaking of things I want more current consoles to play PS2 games. Story number five is another fun one. The Xbox Series X can apparently run PS2 games. This is from Luke Plunkett at Kotaku. What a world we live in when Microsoft's next-gen console has better PlayStation backwards compatibility than the PlayStation 5. Both the Xbox Series S and X have a developer mode users can activate, which can let you run UWP apps. That's an application designed to be able to run not just in Windows 10, but Xbox and Windows 10 mobile as well. That includes RetroArch, a famous front end for various emulators, which means that the minimum of fuss anyone, or that mean, which means that with a minimum of fuss, anyone with one of Microsoft's new consoles can kick back and play, say, a PlayStation 2 game or something from the GameCube library if you prefer that instead. So there you go, another fun one. If you want to put in a little bit of effort, you can play some PS2 games.
I love this.
Your Xbox Series X.
I love the RetroArch stuff and like tinkering with emulators and like, you know, just adjusting things until they all work. So I might actually try this, but it's cool to. I like making consoles play against other consoles. It is a weird little thing that I enjoy. I got my Wii U to play GameCube games on the tablet, which is surprisingly fun. And I've been replaying like Tales of Symphonia over the last couple of months just on that thing.
That's awesome. I do. Yeah. I in college, I remember like I kind of blew my own mind because I figured out it was like me first discovering emulation, all that stuff. And I was like, wait, I can play Mario Kart 64 on my laptop using an Xbox controller. And once I put those pieces together, like legit, I remember being like, yo, this is the future. I couldn't imagine telling my 10-year-old self that this is possible.
Here's the thing, like, it's all fun to do that stuff. But like once you do it, then it becomes like, all right, cool. Now I've said all this. I can now play Mario Kart with my Xbox controller. All right, I'm never going to play this.
Yeah, like, it's like I'm done.
Like yeah. I spent a couple of weeks. I bought one of these like a Retroid Pocket or something. I forget what it was called. It was like a nice little handheld that like runs Android in the background and like you run RetroArch and all that. I spent weeks setting it up. I've not touched it since. And that's like, that's fine. I got what I enjoyed out of it. At some point, I'm going to go back through and I'm going to play Castlevania on it. And that's like, that's all I really need from it.
Dude, so this is a fun fact about me and my gaming history. My first time playing Zelda Ocarina of Time from front to back was via emulator on PC with mouse and keyboard in like 2000. It was like 2009, I want to say. Yeah. And like that's how I played that entire game, mouse and keyboard. And it was a fantastic experience. Like, it was awesome. But I think that's the only game that I can remember of that size where I played from front to back via emulation. Like, I can't think of anyone else.
I remember renting Chrono Trigger as a kid, liking it, but then the video store removed all the SNES games because it was like 1998. So I played it on an emulator on an old ass 1 gig of hard drive space compact Presario. And it barely ran SNES games, but ran turn-based games fine because who cares? And I remember getting like fairly good at using keyboard to play controller games. And I think that's maybe why I play a lot of my PC games with keyboard and mouse these days.
You gotta love it. Imran, I'm excited to see what cool things we're able to do with these different pieces of hardware in the future. But the future is so far away. You know what else is far away? Me reading the out today. Before I get there, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now, with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kfgames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. We're also brought to you by DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order, $15 or more, when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES. That's $5 off your delivery and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES. Don't forget, that's code GAMES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Lastly, we're brought to you by Hims. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked to Hims for help keeping their hair full and healthy. We can confirm they've been loving it ever since. Through Hims, you can get the prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions. This could cost you hundreds of bucks if you had to go through a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims makes it simple and affordable. No embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history and a provider will confidentially review. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about erectile dysfunction or sexual wellness. Just go to your Hims account and ask a medical professional you can trust. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/kindoffunnygames. Or no, actually, let me say that again. Go to 4hims.com/funnygames for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/funnygames. forhims.com/funnygames. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/funnygames. Imran, very excited to see when we can emulate the PS5 on the Microsoft Windows 2050 platform, but 2050 is so far away and we'll probably be able to do that way earlier. If I wanted to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games that we should host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Chronos Before the Ashes for Xbox, PC, and PlayStation, Empire of Sin for Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and Switch, Twin Mirror for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, The Wonderful 101 demo is now available on Switch, Dead by Daylight, A Binding of Kin is out today on Nintendo Switch, PS4, PS5, Stadia, Steam, Windows Store, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X/S. Frostpoint VR Proving Grounds is available today on Steam. And then Valhalla, that is VA11 Hall A, is on Xbox Game Pass for PC today. And then Red Dead Online is now available to purchase as a standalone game from PlayStation Store, Microsoft Store, Rockstar Games Launcher, Epic Games Store, and Steam, with PS4 and Xbox One versions playable via backwards compatibility on PS5 or Xbox Series X/S. Also in Red Dead Online, a new action adventure await across Red Dead Online's frontier as the prestigious Bounty Hunter license is now available for all bounty hunters to pick up, alongside new vigilantes to pursue and the latest outlaw pass featuring a swath of new unlockable content and rewards, plus new horses, gameplay improvements, bonuses, and discounts available to all players. Again, every time I read one of these Red Dead Online updates, I'm like, what the fuck is going on in that game? And I love that you can buy new horses. I want to know, because when I think of Red Dead Online, right, I think of my time in GTA Online, and I think it makes sense, right, like buying all these different cars, customizing them, doing all this different shit. When I read buy new horses, I immediately thought about taking that horse into the customization garage and equipping nitro boosters.
You can, but you cut their hair, get a different saddle for them.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, no. You know what I mean?
Blessing wants neon lights.
I get it. I'm with it.
Yeah, no, I want a custom horn.
You want
when you honk your horn, I want it to play Beethoven.
Oh, I thought you meant like a unicorn horn.
No, but I mean, maybe, you know? Oh god. New dates for you. Cultist Simulator Initiate Edition comes to Nintendo Switch on February 2nd, 2021. King Arthur Knight's Tale comes to Steam Early Access on January 12th, 2021. And then coming soon to Game Pass, we have a whole slate of games. Games like Control coming December 3rd on Android and console, Doom Eternal coming December 3rd on PC. In fact, before I even read all these, these next few are coming on December 3rd. Haven, Rage 2, Slime Rancher, Valhalla, Yes, Your Grace, and then Dragon Quest XI S Echoes of an Elusive Age is coming. A Definitive Edition is coming December 4th. Call of the Sea is coming December 8th. Monster Sanctuary is coming December 8th. Starbound is coming December 8th. Until the End is coming December 9th. Assetto Corsa is coming December 10th. Gang Beasts, December 10th. Greedfall, December 10th. Super Hot, Mind Control Delete, December 10th, and then Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair is coming to Android, console, and PC December 10th.
There's a lot of high cards in that hand. Like, that's a number of really good games, and also Rage 2.
Damn! Just out of nowhere, just the haymaker to Rage 2.
That game is nothing. It, like, it's not bad, it's just nothing. Like, I don't know. I have some thoughts about Rage 2 if we want to get into it at some point.
I always wanted to try out that game, but I never got around to it because I saw the reviews. I was like, it looks cool, though. It looks
the
colorful.
The trailers and commercials are so misleading. It is not that. It is a very brown, not particularly personality-driven FPS.
Damn. Go off, Imran. I respect you when you come out with the fire against these games.
Tech MF in the chat says Rage 2 is a clip-on tie. That is perfect. That is a perfect answer.
Now it's time to squat up. Ryan Frosty Gillian wrote in with a squad up on PS5 and says, hey, ... I'm a nice guy. If you want to play with Ryan Frosty Gillian, who's apparently a nice guy, you can add them on PlayStation with the username RyGill47. That is RyGill47. They're a nice guy. What are they playing? I have no idea. But whatever it is, they're playing it on PS5.
I just don't trust
him. What was that, Kevin?
I said, I just don't trust him. But it makes me want to play with him, though.
He's a nice guy, though.
Yeah, I mean, but like, you know.
Like, if somebody says they're a nice guy, like, what? I mean, what? Why would I not believe him?
Yeah, why would they lie?
Them? All right.
You know? Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Okay, we got to that. It's not a you're wrong. I should make sure that this isn't misleading. So I'm going to open a new tab with that one.
Google it, man.
Googling, because I don't want to mislead these kids.
Imran, do you think if I told you I just made a list of all the things that I have, all the little challenges that I have still available
on Fortnite,
would you believe me?
Uh-huh. I would easily believe you, yes.
I most certainly did.
Okay. I know people who do that, like... I kind of keep a mental list and then forget about them when I actually start playing.
Yep. Now I have a physical list that I can look down at. I just got to knock out a couple more things. I'm going to get Tony Stark.
As long as you're not that guy who abandons their squad to go do some of those things.
Okay, here's the thing. I, like, tell them, and here's the thing. They don't seem to care because I'm really bad at the game.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's
then
fine.
Then I usually come back with a helicopter, save the fucking day. I've done that, like, 3 times. Or a boat.
Yeah, you've done that once. You're the wild card.
You don't play with me all the time, Bless.
You're playing last night.
Oh, shit. Do I really have less than an hour to unlock Tony? Damn it.
Yeah, you better do that quick. Somebody says, Miss News, Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor servers, Shadow of Mordor servers will be shut down at the end of the year. This will make 3 achievements/trophies unobtainable. And so if you want to get that plat for Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, get on that. And I will say, you should go for the plat. It's an easy plat. It's a fun game. You should do it.
That's dumb.
I don't like that.
They shouldn't tie anything that can be shut down should not have a trophy attached to it.
100%.
Unless it's like
agree.
A totally multiplayer game, maybe, but a single player game, no. That's dumb.
Ignacio Rojas says Imran was thinking of the new Retroid Pocket 2.
That is it. Yes, that thing is cool. It's an extremely nice screen. I really like that screen.
Montezuma says Siege Next Gen released today, so there you go. And then one more I got a couple of people here saying that Quick Resume is working a lot better. Darth says Quick Resume works for Valhalla and almost all games now after the latest Xbox Insider update.
Yeah.
And so there you go. I still wish they would tell us which games are in Quick Resume.
And it, like, just is a little button, like a little thing alongside the auto HDR.
Yeah, a warning.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that it seems like they fixed the games that weren't working. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are Greg and Gary Witta. If you're watching this live on Twitch, after this we have Cool Friends with Ryan Clements, so stick around for that. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, till next time, game daily.